Flash Black Radio is trying to approach health and well-being from a holistic point of view, so we're not just looking at it from the perspective of what you're consuming as far as your diet. We want to make sure that your finances are healthy. We want to make sure that your relationships are healthy. We want to make sure that you are healthy psychologically, physically, spiritually. If it affects the community, we need to talk about it. Finances, let's talk about it. Social issues of the day, let's talk about it. Relationships, let's talk about it. Career paths, how we can better ourselves, how we can better positions for our family, how we can make positions for our families. Let's talk about it. Let's stop beating around the bush and let's get in. Let's get active. Let's get involved. Your diet isn't just what you consume physically. It's what you consume mentally, the conversations you participate in, what you watch on TV, what you listen to on the radio. All of this is a part of your diet, and all of this has an impact on your health and your well-being. Flash Black is a new perspective for a multicolored collective. You are now listening to Flash
Black. You are now listening to Flash Black Radio.
Hello, beautiful people. This is Culture Shock on Flash Black Radio. I am Da Vinci Parks, a.k.a. Lee Bennett III, and this is podcast number 3 in the Enhance Your Finances series. The subtitle, I would say, for this series is Bettering Your Financial Health and Wellness. And again, this is podcast number 3, and podcast number 3 is primarily focusing on fine-tuning your budget. So in podcast number 2, we talked about creating or establishing a budget. And podcast number 1 was creating a clearer financial picture. Okay, so in podcast number 1, we talked about jumping in the pool. We talked about a couple tools that you could use to jump in the pool, which were mint.com, M-I-N-T.com, which is free for use for anybody who goes there to the website to download it. It's a free phone application. You can log on to a computer and use it. It's a great application. There's also Microsoft Excel, which you can use through your Microsoft Online account. If you have like a Hotmail or an Outlook account, you can use the online tools to basically get free usage out of Microsoft Excel. If you don't already have Microsoft Excel on your computer, they have this whole cloud thing now where you have to pay for it. So I can't say it's free really, but there are ways to be able to access something like Microsoft Excel to get what you need done. Also, you can use Google Docs and also get like an Excel type feature or function and probably accomplish it the same way. And then lastly, there is the eFast, which is something I developed for users who might not be Microsoft Excel savvy, but still want to be able to track their finances. It's not super sexy, but it is functional. So all you would need to use the eFast is your last full pay stub. Have that at your disposal, and you can use the information on your pay stub and plug in the numbers in, and the eFast will do everything else, and then you can actually just track your budget that way. So that is podcast number 1, and there'll be an offshoot to talk about how to use mint.com and also briefly how to use Microsoft Excel and also how to use the eFast. That'll be a separate podcast at some point in the near future. Podcast number 2 was establishing a budget. So after you've learned the importance of jumping in the pool, now you need to go ahead and establish a budget. Why it's important to establish a budget, how you establish a budget, you go line item by line item, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to rehash this whole thing because the podcast is there for you to listen to, free for use, whenever you want to go ahead and do that, okay? So this podcast is fine-tuning your budget. So now that you have a budget and you have something to work with, you want to be able to find ways to create wiggle room in your budget without necessarily having to create a whole bunch of pain and angst to do so. And at the same time, even if you're not making more money, you want to be able to fine-tune your budget in a way that you're able to actually find extra space in your discretionary income or find a little bit of money at the end of the month. So that's what this podcast is about. And the first thing we're going to discuss in terms of how to fine-tune your budget is the Starbucks principle. To be fair and to be clear and to be open and honest, I did not create this principle, but I would like to share it because I feel it's valuable to anybody who's listening who might not have heard it or
who may have heard it and have forgotten. The way the Starbucks principle works is as follows. We're going to take an imaginary character. We're going to name him Joe Schmo. And in this scenario, Joe Schmo is your average worker. He works one job. He's good at his job for this particular scenario. It doesn't really impact the scenario, but we'll say he's good at his job. And he reports to work without fail Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, 4 weeks out the month, right? So Joe Schmo has this thing that he needs to do. Like many, Joe Schmo needs to have caffeine in his diet. He needs to have caffeine before he can even talk to people. So Joe Schmo likes to go downstairs and around the corner to his local Starbucks. And he goes to Starbucks and he orders his coffee. And the coffee, for the sake of the scenario, magically rounds out to be $5 per day. So he gets one coffee. He's not crazy with it. He gets one coffee and he's good with that. And he gets that coffee, goes back to his job, he completes his job, so forth and so on. So what we want to do is, with the Starbucks principle, we want to focus on how that $5 cup of coffee drastically can impact and pull down his bottom line and affect his discretionary income, affect his savings, so forth and so on. A $5 cup of coffee, which may be what some of you out there do, doesn't seem like a lot, but when you start analyzing your budget and really going through it and looking at ways to conserve money, a $5 cup of coffee could be an excellent place to start. So let's get into the scenario. If Joe Schmo was going to go to work 5 days a week and get one cup of coffee at $5 every day, that's going to equate to $25 per week. If you multiply that $25 per week times four, and we're going to keep it average because I like to be very particular and specific with certain things. So we do understand that there are some days that are extra from month to month. So it's not always going to equal roundly out to 4 weeks in every month. But we're just doing that for this scenario to keep all the math easy to follow. Okay? So now that I've said that, Joe Schmo gets his $5 cup of coffee 5 days a week. At the end of the week, that's $25. At the end of the month, that is $100. If you multiply that by 12, you get $1,200 that Joe Schmo has spent on Starbucks coffee. Now, for some people, no matter what they make, be they in the lower income bracket or be they in the upper middle class, whatever the bracket, for some people who are really into coffee and they need that coffee, that's how they feel they need to get by or to get going in the morning, that is perfectly acceptable. Myself, I cannot see spending $1,200 a year on coffee. That's just me. There's got to be a better way in my mindset of how I can go about getting my coffee without spending $1,200. So I'm not saying you can't have the coffee. I'm not saying that it's completely up to you whether or not you want to do that, but it's one of those things that you got to start looking at your bottom line and evaluate how you can shore up your finances. So in this scenario, were it me, $1,200 would be a bit it would be way too much for me to spend money on in terms of coffee. Not when I can make my own coffee. I can buy Starbucks coffee at home and then I can brew it, put it in a container and take it into work with me. And it might not be exactly like Starbucks coffee, but it would be good enough for me. So let me be fair. I'm not a coffee drinker, as some of you have probably surmised by now. And that's fair, right? What I am is I am a tea drinker. I personally like tea. So if you come to my place, you might see that I have 8 or so jars of tea lined up on my counter with all these different flavors, and they're all labeled and they have the caffeine amount, and herbal tea is over here and the decaf, this is over there. And I'm very much into tea. I like tea. So I've got like 15 to 20 different types of tea in my house at any given time. That's just me. So tea is my thing. So what I was doing for a good while, I was going into work and I was purchasing tea, and it was 75 cents a cup. Now, 75 cents is a far cry from $5 a day. And 75 cents seemed to me to be a fair price. And I started to think about it. It's like 75 cents for a tea bag. It's kind of expensive. So even though I didn't do the math, I changed up my method before I did the math. I went back and did the math at a later point, and here's what I came up with. That 75 cents at the end of the day is going to come up to $3.75 at the end of the week. By the end of the month, that 75 cent tea bag is going to expand itself to $15. That $15 over the course of a year is going to be $180. Now, here's the thing. I like tea, as I expressed to you, but I don't like tea enough to pay $180 to somebody else that is not going to benefit me. I'm giving my money away to somebody to get tea, and I'm not getting really anything back other than tea. What I'm trying to say is there should be more in it for me if I'm going to give away $180. That's how I look at it. So what I started to do is I realized that this place that I was buying my tea from didn't mind you coming in with your own cup and using their hot water, because it's pretty much water that was attached to a machine. You pour the water and you could get your own hot water. And if you got the tea bag, you can get it for a discounted price. So the tea bag and the cup that they were selling you equated to 75 cents. But if you brought your own hot water and got a tea bag, it was a little bit less. I went a step further and said, hey, I can go to the store and I can just buy a box of tea for $2.50 on sale and get 20 bags of tea. That literally covers me for the month. 20 bags of tea divided by 4. See where I'm going with this? So doing the math, that $2.50 box of tea that I bought to cover me for the month stretches out to $30 over the course of the year. So that $30 that I spent over the course of the year is less than me spending $180. I saved $150 just by looking at my bottom line and looking at where I can cut cost. And that's just an attitude for me is, going to the store, I go to the grocery store anyway. So when I'm at the grocery store, just remember to pick up a box of tea, or I could pick up 5 boxes of tea and not have to worry about buying tea for a very, very long time. It's just something to think about. So that is just one way, the Starbucks principle, to simply look at how a small purchase, and for somebody else, it might be something else. Maybe you buy an Egg McMuffin in the morning and hash browns and hot coffee from McDonald's. However you want to look at it in terms of things that you do on a regular basis, how can you modify those things and still get what you want, but at the same time, not pay so much? Now, it might take some doing on your part. Maybe it comes down to, instead of an egg and cheese McMuffin, maybe you're making your egg and cheese sandwich the night before, and then you take it with you, because there are ways to do that. There are ways to, and it's just as good. All I'm saying is it might take a little more doing on your part, but the end result can be that you can save yourself money and you can still get what you need. So that is just something to think about. So now that we've gotten the Starbucks principle out of the way, I wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk about something else, which is another principle that I did not come up with personally, but I think it's still worth mentioning yet again, and I think it's something that can help you in terms of savings. So savings is something I'm going to impress upon you a lot because I think it's very important, and I think one of the things we need to keep in mind as people who are trying to change our finances and trying to change our economic situation, whatever that may be, is we need to be more goal-oriented, and we also need to be more savings-oriented. Okay, savings are our lifeblood. So if we need to do something in the future and we don't have the money to do so, not having savings can put us in dire straits. If we switch jobs, for example, and perhaps while we're switching jobs, we don't have anything to get us from point A to point B because we didn't save anything,
then that time while we're waiting for that first full paycheck can be very painful. What if you lose a job? Or what if you have medical expenses that kick in because you don't have health insurance and you're not covered at the time? Having savings can help offset a lot of financial woes and worries and concerns and constraints. And also, it can prevent you from becoming one of those people who are put in dire straits because you didn't have the necessary savings in place. So the first thing I want to say is, if you do not have a rainy day fund, you need to get one. And very simply, what a rainy day fund is, it's a fund, a catch-all for your life expenses. So hypothetically speaking, a rainy day fund should cover 3 to 6 full months of your living expenses. And your living expenses are your core expenses. That means the expenses you need to maintain your household. Okay, so that's if you're renting or you have a mortgage, that's in your core expenses and your core living expenses. Whatever your utilities are, all of them over the course of a month, multiply that by 3 to 6. Also the rent by 3 to 6. And then also figure out food. And if you need transportation to get from point A to B, you need to figure that out as well. So insurance, if you have car insurance or anything like that, these are the things that need to be figured out. So hypothetically speaking, if you are an individual who has roughly $2,000 in living expenses that you're paying out each month, then you need to at some point be working towards getting a rainy day fund, which covers that for 3 to 6 months. So yes, that would mean that you would need $6,000 or more for your rainy day fund. And the reason why you want to have this is just in case something goes wrong. Just in case you find yourself in an unpredictable or unanticipated situation, you're covered. Okay? So we got the rainy day fund covered and why it's important. Now we're going to show some ways to save outside of the Starbucks principle in terms of that's way of cutting how you spend and being more aware of how you spend. I'm not going to say intelligent, but more aware and just conscientious of how you're spending your money. Now, here are some conscientious ways that you can save your money. The 52-week savings plan.
The 52-week savings plan is yet another idea that I did not come up with, but it is one that I again think is worth sharing. If you haven't heard of it, I think it could be something that could help you potentially save a little bit of money. And it's not something that's going to necessarily hurt your pockets in the process. And that's, I'm speaking for most individuals. I can't speak for everybody, of course, but I'm trying to make this something that more people can use rather than less. So with that in mind, the 52-week savings plan is, I think, relatively simple in nature, but at the same time, effective and easy to do. It just takes a little bit of manual manipulation of your finances from week to week, or if you choose to do it on a monthly basis so you don't have to do it week to week, that's on you. So diving right into the 52-week plan, what is it? Well, it's a plan that pretty much puts you in a position where you need to save a set dollar amount each week of the year. There are 52 weeks of the year. So for whatever week number you're in the calendar year, that's how much you would save for that week. For example, if you are in week 1, you would save $1. If you're in week 32, you would save $32. So that is pretty much the gist of the 52-week savings plan. It's not overly complex. Now, here's the thing. If you look at it from a certain perspective, it can get kind of costly and a little bit more burdensome for some once you get towards the latter half of the year. Once you start getting higher up in numbers where you have week 49, 50, 51, and 52 all hitting in the same month, for some, that might be a little bit difficult to do. So there's another way that you can do it if you want to modify the savings plan a little bit. You can do, say, for the first week of the year, $1 for week 1, scratch that off. And then for the second week, go to the end of the year and do week 52 and scratch that off. And then say for week 3, maybe you do $3 for week 3. Or maybe you just say, hey, I did $53. That's more than I would have done for the first couple weeks combined or the first couple months combined. So what you can do is you can knock a few weeks off the end of the calendar year and knock a few weeks off the beginning of the calendar year and then work your way in. So that could be another way you can do it. Now, if you do the 52-week savings plan, you're going to save over $1,300. It doesn't seem like you would do that with this plan, but you do. If you stick to it, it is a good way to save money. It's just something that I thought would be worthwhile and worth sharing.
Another way that you can save, and it's a similar principle, but not the same. But another way you can save is you can just take a hard dollar amount. And this is honestly an easier way to do it, to be frank, because the 52-week savings plan is cute and it does work. Another way that you can do it is you can just take a hard dollar amount per pay period and save that automatically. So basically, you set your bank up for an automatic transfer from your checking to your savings account of a set dollar amount and just let it do what it does. So you can start with a minimum, I would say, of 25, because if it's less than 25, you're likely not going to feel that. You're not going to feel that when you're saving it, and you're not going to feel it when it adds up towards the end of the year. Most likely. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm speaking for the vast majority of the listeners here, okay? If less than $25 is what needs to happen for you, there's no judgment there. Again, I want to point out to you, this is not a place where we're here to judge. We're here to find solutions and here to better ourselves. So if you can't do more than $25, that's cool. Do what you can. If you can do more than $25, do what you can. If you can let it hurt a little bit and you can still get the things you need to take care of done, do that. So if you can do $100 per pay period and save that every pay period, then that's going to really add up nicely towards the end of the year. So let's look at it. If you just did $25 per pay period and you're getting paid twice a month, you're looking, by the time you get to December, at $500 in your savings. And that's kind of awesome because, again, if you're looking at something like Christmas, a lot of people wait till they get to Christmas to start shopping one. And then on top of that, they're also not really saving any money for Christmas. So you could have a pot of money already set aside if you just start planning in advance and just make an automatic savings account for that. I'm not saying that you need to go crazy at Christmas or spend anything at Christmas. That's not what I'm suggesting. But if you're going to do it, have a game plan for it. That way you're not putting yourself in a hole at the end of the year going into the next year, and then you have to dig yourself out. And by the time you've dug yourself out, you're back in the hole again. See what I'm saying here? So if you did $25 per pay period and you're getting paid twice a month, that adds up to $50 per month. At the end of the year, that's $600. If you quadruple that and say, hey, I'm going to do $200 per month or $100 per pay period, that's going to then come up to $2,400. And that's a nice amount of money, especially if you want to do something like work towards your rainy day savings fund. Because there are ways that you can save large money, pockets of money away. You could take some of your tax money if you don't owe, and you take half of that or a quarter of that, and you can put it towards your rainy day savings fund, and that's cool. But there are other ways that you can build your savings up. And a lot of times you can do it without actually thinking about it if you just set up automatic savings. And just honestly, just leave it alone. Don't mess with it. Just let it sit there. And if you need to go into your savings, you can. That's what they're there for. But again, when we're talking about savings, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing that I want you to drill into your head and remember this always. We have people that we are obligated to pay every month for something. If we have a cell phone bill, there's a written contract that we're supposed to pay that cell phone bill on a monthly basis. Whether it's a Track phone or Cricket or T-Mobile or Verizon, you've made a written obligation in most instances, unless you're on somebody else's plan, to pay that bill every month. If you have rent or you have mortgage, you have an obligation to pay that every month. If you have utility bills or insurance, you have all these things, all these obligations that we understand we need to pay. And if we've made the agreement that we're going to pay something, then we need to honor that. Our word needs to mean something, because again, this goes not just your worthiness, but your credit worthiness. So we have a FICO score and credit worthiness podcast as well that you can tune into and check on that side of the house. But we need to make sure that we honor our debts. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we honor ourselves. So while we're considering and making sure that we're paying the debts that we owe, we need to make sure that we're considering ourselves as a debt that needs to be paid, and we need to pay ourselves, and we need to put that money away. And again, I want to stress, paying yourself does not mean rewarding yourself by buying things. paying yourself is actually putting money to the side and having money in a safe place, liquid, that you can access when you need to access that money. Another way of paying yourself is going to be investments, making sure that you do things like 401ks or 403bs if you work for a nonprofit. Okay, you need to make sure that you are actually planning for the future. Roth IRAs, these are things that you need to start considering if you haven't done so already. And if you're using a 401k savings plan, you need to check on it every now and then. If you don't understand it totally, do some research on it, find a financial planner. We're going to talk about these things a little bit more in depth, but these are the things that I want you to be mindful of. The last thing I want to talk about in terms of savings, and there are tons of ways that you can save money. I can't possibly cover them all in one podcast. I just want to throw some ideas out there for you. And hopefully there's some ideas that you can use and fine tune on your own. Or if you have your own, that's great. Just as long as you're saving and you're doing so in a constructive manner, as long as you're finding ways to make your budget work for you and you're not working for your budget, that's awesome. That's what this is all about. So another way to find wiggle room in your budget, another way to make things work is just the spare change that we have in our daily transactions. Now, here's the thing. I'm not somebody that tends to walk around with a lot of cash on me. I tend to just swipe the card. I track that spending in my Mint account. I track it often also online. I track it in an Excel spreadsheet. You know, I'm very good at tracking my expenses, so I'm not mindlessly swiping, but there are a lot of us who still walk around with cash, and that's cool. We should have some cash on us, so I need to get better in that regard. But when we spend money, a lot of times that change that we have, we no longer look at that for some reason as money. It's coins and it's stuff that, you know, sometimes I've seen people just throw away pennies because they're pennies and they don't add up. No, it's all money. Save it. Put it to the side. Put it in a jar. I actually have a relative of mine years ago who paid his mortgage when things got really lean for him with change that he had stored up in his huge piggy bank. And I don't think the piggy bank was necessarily for him to pay his mortgage with. I don't think that was his goal. But the money was there because he had actually saved it in change. I have another friend who used to literally just stack quarters on top of quarters on this ledge in his bedroom. And then one day he went and cashed all those quarters in. And it turned out to be like $1,300 in quarters. And it's just going every day and just like whatever transaction you have, he would spend his money, he would get change back, and he would just put that on his ledge, whatever it was, quarters, dimes, nickels, whatever. And he would just put it on his ledge and it added up. And your money can add up the same way if you're spending money and getting coins back, save those coins. And then when you get to a point where you fill up a jar or fill up two jars or three or four, take those jars and then take them to your bank. A lot of banks have free coin exchange programs. You feed the coins in, they give you a slip, you take it to the teller. The teller gives you cold hard cash for it. And that's awesome. So these are just some of the ways that you can find wiggle room in your budget, and you don't necessarily have to make more from month to month. You can just be more conscientious of how you're spending your money and figure out the line items that you can cut in terms of, okay, well, I don't necessarily need to buy this to get this, or I don't necessarily have to do this to have this effect. So that is one way. And another way is start considering automatic savings. There it's a great tool. You don't have to do anything mentally to make it happen other than setting up once and letting it do what it does, just letting it be. And then there are other ways to do it. As I said, you know, you need to please consider a rainy day fund if you don't have one. Please begin to build one. 3 to 6 months is your goal. If you go over that, that's awesome. You can do the 52-week savings plans, or you can do the automatic savings with like 25, 50, 75, 100, whatever your number is. And you can do more than one savings account, and you can use these for more than one thing. So you can use, say, a $25 per pay period savings plan every pay period to perhaps build up a travel fund. So at the end of the year, you can just fly somewhere and your plane ticket to and going is covered. something as simple as that, because again, one of the ways that we can renew ourselves is by taking a break from what we normally do and finding something else to do outside of that. This is Da Vinci Parks coming to you and again talking to you about ways to fine-tune your budget. I hope this has been edifying for you. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you. I thank you for listening, and please come back for podcast number 4 in the Enhance Your Finances series, where we talk about how you can shop online and make a little bit of money back in the process. So look to see you soon. Love you all. Be well. Peace.